All right, so we will begin today's webinar. Thank you for joining us again this afternoon or this morning if you're on the West Coast. My name is Michelle Balorchi, and I am an outreach and recruitment specialist at the Institute of International Education in Washington, D.C. Today I'll be presenting on Fulbright U.S. Scholar Opportunities in the Western Hemisphere, and I am happy to have my colleague join me today, Angelica Serna.
Hi, everyone. This is Angelica. I'm the program officer for the Western Hemisphere, and that means that should you be selected, I would be your main point of contact for whichever country you're selected for. So I will be here mostly for the Q&A if you have any country-specific questions, nuances, and Michelle will be presenting, and I'll be here at the end. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Angelica. So we've got about an hour today to present the opportunities to you, and I wanted to spend a couple minutes going over a little bit of background on the Fulbright program, and then I'll be walking us through the different opportunities in the region, and then I really want to save the last half hour for the Q&A, because I see that we have a lot of people logged in today, and we'll probably have some good questions. Please do use the question chat box. As you listen, if a question comes up, please chat it in, and we will take those at the end. But yes, so thank you for joining us. And again, the opportunities are in the U.S. Scholar Program. So these are opportunities to teach and research. If you are a recent college graduate or an early career professional with less than 5 years of experience, I encourage you to visit the Fulbright U.S. Student Program website. All right, so moving right along to the mission and the mission and the history. The Fulbright program has been around since 1946, and it is really a partnership between the U.S. government and governments all around the world, and it fosters mutual understanding through international education and cultural exchange. The mission of the program is really to, the program is open to professionals as well as academics and really a range of professionals. That includes artists, journalists, lawyers, et cetera. And our partner countries are 160 countries that we work with. Specifically in the Fulbright Scholar Program, there's over 135 countries where you will find opportunities. And so the other thing I wanted to mention was that the Institute of International Education has been administering the program. And we work closely with our colleagues at the State Department as well as the Fulbright commissions and embassies overseas. All right, and the diversity inclusion statement. This is actually directly from the State Department. It really speaks to the importance that the State Department has put on diversity inclusion for this program, and you will notice that sometimes you'll see our presentations across the country at different campuses, and we're trying to recruit into different populations. That really is built into our outreach strategy here at Fulbright. So please, don't think that there's only one kind of Fulbrighter. There is a Fulbright for everyone, and we are happy to talk to you about them. Okay, so just to give you an idea of the scope of the program, we like to show this slide to show you that there are a lot of opportunities available. So specifically for the U.S. Scholar Program, we send about 800 scholars and administrators abroad every year. So there are 800 opportunities really open. We have over 450 unique award offerings, and of those offerings, there are 800 spots. So you'll hear us talk about awards and grants. Really, one award might actually have 10 or 20 grants available. So that's where we get the number 800. So there are certainly several options out there. All right, so in terms of the baseline eligibility, that would be U.S. citizenship. So we do require U.S. citizenship for the U.S. Scholar Program. And then after that, it really depends on the award description. So each award description is unique, and the requirements might differ. Even within a particular country, there might be different requirements depending on the award. So there might be a terminal or PhD requirement or a certain number of years of teaching at the university level, particular years of experience in a profession, things like that. And if you are a returning Fulbrighter, we ask that you wait 2 years from the time that you complete your grant to the application deadline of the competition you're interested in. All right, so now let's dive right into the opportunities in the Western Hemisphere. So there are 27 countries that participate in the program, from Canada all the way down to Chile. We have 59 unique award offerings, with offering a total of over 200 grants. Also to take note, there is the flex option in some of these awards. So if you have a research project that requires multiple visits over a year or two, that is an option available. So do take a look at the award description to see if flex is available. All right, in terms of, we get a lot of questions from applicants in terms of, well, what are the priorities in the region, or what is really, you know, where can I be the most successful? So I've put a few disciplines up there in terms of what countries are interested in a particular field. And again, this is not exhaustive, but these are some trends that we see. So STEM fields are very popular in the Western Hemisphere, and you can see that several countries are interested in hosting STEM scholars, either for research projects or teaching. TEFL, Teaching English as a Foreign Language, is also in demand in Mexico, Dominican Republic, several countries in Central America, as well as Uruguay. We do have the professional project option available in some awards, specifically in Honduras, and then the Public Policy Fellowship to Peru, that is really geared towards kind of early career professionals that have either a master's or a JD. They're interested in a career in public policy, and they have about 3 to 5 years of professional work experience. So that is a wonderful opportunity, and that allows grantees to be placed in a government ministry. And then last but not least, we have several countries that are interested in hosting scholars who are experts in U.S. studies, or you can say also broadly North American studies. We have a North American Studies Award in the region as well. So these are just some general trends. Certainly, if you don't fall into these categories, don't worry. The good news is we have a lot of awards that are open to all disciplines. Okay, so let's start with Canada. Canada has several award opportunities, and so we have a couple slides dedicated to Canada. The first one I want to start off with is the All Disciplines Award. This is specifically for research or a combination of teaching and research, and there are up to 3 grants available for 4 to 9 months. This award does include the flex option, so if that's something of interest, you can work with the potential host to see if that would be a good fit. This award does require a letter of invitation from the host, and that can be any university, government agency, or research institution in Canada. So this is a little unique from the other awards that I'll be telling you about in Canada, because you are allowed to work beyond a particular university. So the other ones you'll notice are kind of more of a placed program where the commission works with you to place you at certain universities. So Canada has the All Disciplines, and then they also have a Distinguished Research Chair, several awards grants available at Carleton University. So I've listed the themes, kind of the general areas that they're interested in having scholars. Again, for this award, since it is at Carleton University, you do not need to have a letter of invitation, because it's already, that is the location that this will be taking place. And again, that's a full academic year, 9-month grant. And then we've got about a dozen awards, an even dozen research chair awards in the following fields. And so it's a pretty exhaustive list. And if you don't fall into one of these, then we have an open field award. So certainly, again, the distinction between a Distinguished Chair Award and a Research Chair Award to Canada is that the Distinguished Chair is strictly for more senior scholars, at least at the associate, but usually typically at the full professor level, that have an extensive research publication and teaching record. The Research Chair Awards that I'm featuring right now, those are also open to early career and mid-career academics. So there isn't a particular requirement to be a senior scholar. And also a letter of invitation is typically not required. It is optional. You are welcome to contact a university, and you'll notice in these awards that there are several universities. I think there's about 22 universities across the country that they suggest affiliating with, depending on your field and your discipline, your specialization. So click on each of these are actually unique awards. So it will be titled Research Chair in Arts, Humanities, and Culture, Research Chairs in Business and Management. So when you're in the catalog, that's what that's going to be showing. So altogether, Canada has about 45 grants. So there's a lot of interest and demand for U.S. scholars to come to Canada and to research and teach. So that's something to keep in mind. All right, and then moving on to Central America, we have several All Disciplines Awards available, so I've listed them there. And then I did want to point out that Panama also has a Science, Technology, and Education Award in addition to their All Disciplines Award. And there is more information in the award description about potential hosts and what kind of projects they're looking for. And so there is they've added a new location, and so these are unique opportunities that are new and exciting in Panama. There's a knowledge city, the Ciudad del Saber, and they are interested in hosting American scholars there in a variety of fields. So do take a look at that award description. Okay, now we've got Mexico, and I wanted to take a break right here and actually discuss when I mentioned commissions or working with embassies, I want to point out that if we think about the awards to Central America, for example, those are administered by our colleagues in the U.S. embassies. And the Commission in Mexico, for example, administers the awards to Mexico. So you might hear or you might have heard in other webinars or through colleagues that they either worked with a commission or they had to contact IIE. Just keep in mind that when we're looking at these awards and they reference different contacts and different commissions, that there are two entities essentially that administer the Fulbright program abroad. So in the case of Mexico and the case of Canada, they are both commission countries. So there's a dedicated staff of Fulbright. It's a binational commission that has dedicated Fulbright staff that help administer and also kind of recruit for these awards and assist grantees. So it's a very different experience if you're seeking a letter of invitation, for example. So on the Mexico awards, you might see it listed as COMEXIS or Garcia Robles or the Fulbright Commission of Mexico. Those are essentially one and the same. So if you see an award that's called the Garcia Robles, it's literally just everything in Mexico for Fulbright will be called Garcia Robles. So they use these terms interchangeably. So in terms of the awards to Mexico, there's a variety. So you'll see it's not just STEM, but there's also the U.S. Studies Chair, there's the TEFL Award, the Social Sciences and Humanities. And so there's really a broad interest in Mexico to bring U.S. scholars. For example, the U.S. Studies Chair, that is a placed grant, a placed award. So depending on the applicant's particular field of specialization, there are four universities where the applicant could be placed. So it's important to take a look at the award description and see where you might be a good fit so you understand when you're crafting your project statement that you can really say, look, I think, you know, I have a lot to bring to this award, this placement, because I see that the University of XYZ is interested in ABC and this is my field. And so understanding where the placements are can really assist when you craft your project statement. On this slide, what I want to bring attention to, there's two particular awards that are unique. There's the Fulbright Scholar Border Program, and that is open to U.S. scholars that are based in the bordering states, the U.S.-Mexico border, so California, Arizona, New Mexico, Texas. And so that is kind of a part-time grant, so to speak. So you would spend part of the time at your home university in the U.S. and part of the time at a border, a university along the border in Mexico. So this is a unique opportunity to study border issues and collaborate with colleagues in Mexico on border-related issues. So that's something I wanted to point out, as well as the Fulbright Carlos Rico Award for North American Studies. This is a wonderful research opportunity for scholars whose projects and research require them to visit both Canada and Mexico. So this grant allows you to spend equal amounts of time in both countries. All right, and as we move across the region, looking at the awards available in the countries in the Andes, we have all disciplines awards to Bolivia, Colombia, Ecuador, and Peru. And then Colombia also has a distinguished chair in biodiversity and sustainable development. And this is at the National University of Colombia, Universidad Nacional de Colombia. This is a huge university system, actually, across the country with several campuses. And Colombia has a Fulbright Commission, and they have recently expanded their offerings through Fulbright. So the All Disciplines Award, for example, has up to 16 grants available, and then there's a grant available for the Distinguished Chair Award. And so there's this real thirst and demand, this eagerness to bring down U.S. Scholars to Colombia and really have some kind of advice on curriculum, collaborate in research and teaching and all of that. So there's a real drive in Colombia to expand the program. So if you're interested in any of the opportunities here, just please contact me, and I can kind of give you more background information. But just wanted to share that little bit of information. All right, Brazil. This is another large country in terms of grant opportunities. It also has a Fulbright Commission. And one thing that's unique about this country is that they have 30 grants. They have 30 spots available for their All Disciplines Award. So certainly, if you don't feel that you fit, you might not be a good fit for the other awards that might be a little specific, but your project needs to take place in Brazil, then the All Disciplines Award would be for you. I do want to preface that by saying projects that are based outside of the metropolitan areas of Rio de Janeiro and Sao Paulo will be given priority and kind of a preference because those two cities have been historically saturated with Fulbrighters, and so the commission really has an interest in spreading the Fulbright kind of footprint, so to speak, across the country. And so I do encourage you, if you have a project that's in Brazil, to strategize so that it's not in either of those metropolitan centers. All right, so moving on from the All Disciplines Award, we then have the Distinguished Chair Opportunities. And there are five unique, completely different types of chair awards to Brazil. And these are actually partnered with a particular host institution. So we have this is relatively new. We got it a little bit towards the end of last year, the Neuroscience Award at Rio Grande do Sul. We have the Legal Theory Studies also, but this is at the University of Rio de Janeiro. So that is in the capital, one of the major cities there, and then the Public Policy Award at the Nabucco Foundation. So so those are some unique opportunities, as well as the International Relations Award at University of Sao Paulo and at Minas Gerais, the Study of the U.S. So you can see from STEM to U.S. studies to public policy and legal theory, Brazil is really interested in bringing experts down to the country, and whether it's 4 to 6 to 9 months. All right, and then we are now in the Southern Cone. We have awards to Argentina. So in a way, they've kind of split the all disciplines really just kind of into STEM and then social sciences and humanities. So certainly there's probably, one of the disciplines that you're in will probably fit into Argentina. So there's a big interest in Argentina to bring scholars and have them collaborate in terms of research. Chile also has two specific awards, one in the social sciences, humanities, and education, and then they have their science and technology award. Paraguay has an all disciplines. Uruguay also has an all disciplines, and then they have a unique award. It's an agriculture award that the scholar would work directly with the National Institute of Agriculture, and they have five unique kind of experimental stations across the country. So this is a great opportunity if you are specifically, if you have a project in agriculture that's your background and you're thinking of applying to an all disciplines award, you know you want to go to the region, this would be a great fit. So kind of a rule of thumb in terms of when we advise applicants is certainly to take a look where you would be the best match. So if you are in agriculture, we certainly encourage you to apply to awards that are specifically geared, that are looking for agriculture experts. And again, you'll only be competing with your peers. But if it's not available in the particular region or country of interest, then certainly an all disciplines award is the way to go. But again, you would be competing with people from across disciplines. All right, and then the last region to cover is the Caribbean. So you'll notice we do have several all disciplines awards to the countries in the Caribbean. But I just wanted to point out there's a couple that have an additional award available. So in Guyana, we have the STEM and Agricultural Award. So again, another interest in agriculture. And then in Trinidad and Tobago, the Multiple Disciplines Award. This is kind of a partner award with the College of Science, Technology, and Applied Arts. So they are specifically looking, for example, for journalism, social work, so those different kinds of preferences are listed in the award description. So several opportunities available. Again, all disciplines awards all across the region. And when they say all disciplines, they really mean all disciplines. You might see some preferences for particular areas that are priorities for the U.S. Embassy there or for the particular host country. But again, they might not get any applications in those fields. It's kind of just a wish list. So I don't want you to feel discouraged if you say, well, you know, I found a great award, I found a great placement or an affiliation in Jamaica or in Suriname, but I don't, I don't really fit with what their priorities are listed. That's okay. Those are, again, just think of it as a wish list. Okay, the last thing I wanted to showcase here are the postdoc awards. So we do have three unique postdoc awards available. We have the Postdoc to Canada, again, a research award. Again, and postdocs would be those that have finished their degree in the last 5 years. The postdoc to Chile, it's in astronomy and Antarctic studies. It's a unique opportunity. And again, not just open to postdocs, but early career scientists. So check that award description for more information. There's, I believe, two different locations where scholars could be affiliated. And then the postdoc to Mexico. So we've got some great opportunities, whether you're a junior scholar, a senior scholar, kind of mid-career, there's several opportunities available. So I encourage you to please contact me if you have any specific questions about award eligibility or if a certain host would be acceptable or a project would be feasible. Please do reach out to me. I do one-on-one sessions. I can set up a conference call with you and we can kind of discuss where you'd be a good fit in the region. Okay, and just a couple things I want to point out in terms of when you're going through the catalog and looking at awards, it's important to keep in mind, first of all, that you can only apply for one award. So I know I mentioned we have over 450 award offerings. So things to keep in mind would be something like language requirements. So if you are interested, you're very interested in going to, let's say, Guatemala, but it requires intermediate level Spanish and you're only at the beginner stage, perhaps you'd need to kind of calibrate your search and look at awards that only have the recommended kind of Spanish requirement. So you'll see either required or recommended levels of fluency. So French, Spanish, or Portuguese may or may not be required. There are some countries in the region, in the Spanish-speaking countries, that may require you to teach classes in Spanish, and so that's why they have those requirements in place. Again, if you're not sure or if you're kind of borderline between beginner and intermediate or the project that you're working on is with a team that speaks English, just let me know and I can clarify with that particular country. If it is a commission country, typically they have their link in the award description, so feel free to reach out to them as well. So that's something to keep in mind, though. For this particular region, more than other regions, the language requirement should be considered as you consider different award options. The other feature I wanted to point out was the regional travel program. So let's say you apply for an award, you get the grant, and you're now in country doing your research or your teaching. Once you're in the country, you can apply for the regional travel program grant, which would allow you to visit another country in the region to attend a conference or a workshop, or let's say you're giving a lecture or hosting a workshop, et cetera. Anything that's not research related to your project, that kind of activity is supported through this travel program. So it would be your flight and perhaps accommodation, but some funding is provided so that you can, let's say if you're based in Canada and you want to go to a conference in Brazil, that's what you would apply for. All right, so at this point, I would like to, as we're getting the questions collected, I wanted to just walk through the website and the catalog and just show you where you would get things and where you'd find the information. So here we are, we're at CIES.org, so that is the website for the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program. And so I'm here on the main landing page, and if I just scroll down, I can click on Browse the Award Catalog. But I want to point out that if you keep scrolling down, you'll get the Regional Highlights page, so you can see some different projects in the Western Hemisphere. And you can also sign up for other webinars along the way. So this is where you'd go, you'd click on the webinar schedule. You can also see where we're visiting campuses. So we're constantly on the road. Our team is traveling all across the United States. And then also we have this great blog post, 5 Tips to Jumpstart Your Application. This is our blog post that we try and, you know, launch at the start of the competition to help you out. So if we go to the catalog, having a little mouse issues. All right, and we click on Search All Awards, and we're going to the West Hem. You'll see here that there's 59 awards available, and we can see it also in a list. So, for example, if we click on Bolivia, we'll see these 4 different tabs, and so I encourage you to click on all of these to get the information, because pretty much everything is going to be in the award description. It's also going to let you know what kind of activity and what kind of profile. So, for example, this one, it says academics accept early career. So that would mean, people often ask, what does early career mean? So in terms of what we're thinking about in terms of eligibility for the Fulbright program, it would be if you received your PhD in the last 5 years. That's considered early career. So if an award is open to early career and you graduated 3 or 4 or 5 years ago, with your terminal degree, you'd be eligible for that. You can see my contact information here. You can have my direct phone line and the inbox that I have, the grant information in terms of the date and whether a letter of invitation is required, advanced Spanish fluency is required, it says, and then they have a contact listed at the U.S. Embassy in Bolivia. So all of this is very helpful information. You can see stipend information and the overview. So let's take a look then at the questions that have come in. We have about a half an hour to get to all of your questions. Let's see. All right. So let's see. We have a question from someone who is a researcher in a State Department of Education. Would I be eligible for scholar programs even though I'm outside of the university system? So this is a good question. We do have particular eligibility requirements listed on our website. If you are a direct employee or kind of any intern or affiliate with the State Department, you would not be eligible. If it's the Department of Education, you would probably be eligible. So I would say This is a very specific eligibility question, so just please email me. You can send your CV, and I'll take a look, and I'll be able to assess your eligibility. But we do have that listed on our, if you go back to the top here and we click on Fulbright, if we click on Scholar Program, and we can go to the eligibility right here, you'll be able to see who exactly is eligible. So let's take a look at the next question. Let's see, I'm a U.S. citizen, but I've lived in Mexico for the past 14 years. Could I do a Fulbright in Mexico? All right, another eligibility question, great question. The answer would be no, though, because you'll see that we do have a residency requirement. So candidates who have resided abroad for 5 years or more in the 6 years preceding their application would not be eligible. So let's see. How can you see the PowerPoint after this presentation? That's a great question. This webinar is being recorded and will be archived within about a week on our website, and it's exactly where it'll go, right in that same webinar schedule that I showed you at the bottom. So whenever we archive anything, you'll find it in the past. So, for example, on the 5th, we had our What's New webinar, What's New in the Program, Program Highlights, and here you can get the recording as well as the PowerPoint. Okay? So that's that one. All right. Let's see. I'm interested in Argentina, but I'm a musician and music educator. Is there any chance of me getting a Fulbright? So this really depends on, you say you're a music educator. Are you teaching at a university, or is it private lessons? So if you could send me your CV, I can take a look. And again, also refer to the award description. That's really going to be very helpful in terms of the particular candidate profile the country's looking for. All right, another question about the language evaluator. How do I find a qualified language evaluator? So typically, the person who would be the language evaluator, who we would recognize as a qualified evaluator, would be someone who teaches the language, particularly or specifically or ideally, at a university, but if it's also at a language school, whatever is accessible to you. So if you're not based at a university where that language is taught, unless you might be independent or not near a place that has a university-level course that's offered in that language, just contact us and ask us to see if a particular person could serve as your evaluator. But it does need someone who can evaluate your fluency. Okay, this is a great question. What is the preferred percentage division of teaching and research for teaching and research programs? So let me actually have Angelica answer that.
Hi, everyone. So this is a really great question. And in in the award catalog, you'll see a breakdown if it's noted, noted in the grant activity section. So it would say 60-40 or 50-50, or to be determined between you and your host institution. So oftentimes you'll want to be in communication with the host institution. Whether or not a letter of invitation is required, we do recommend that you have at least communicated with where you would like to be hosted and see what their needs are and make sure that you have their buy-in and that your proposal will really match what they need. So that would be the strongest. The next question, do most research teaching grants only begin in August 2021, or is it possible to begin earlier in 2021? So generally, it will depend on the country. So as Michelle mentioned earlier, there are commission countries, and then there are what we call post countries or embassy countries. For countries that are post countries or non-commissioned countries, the earliest you can start would probably be mid-July, because there is a pre-departure orientation in the U.S. that you have to attend before you go on your program. For commission countries, it is possible to start earlier, but if you're teaching, especially if you're teaching, you'll need to be matching their academic calendar. So again, look at the award description, and it'll indicate the specific range of dates and start dates that you can begin on. The next question, is there a contact or program officer who we can speak with in person? And what is the likelihood that we could be awarded a Fulbright without having an in-country contact ahead of time? So if you mean program officer at IIE, that would be me. And myself and Michelle are kind of the West Hem experts, so certainly email us and we can set up a phone call to discuss your interest and where your best fit would be and how to really compile a strong application. And the likelihood to be awarded a Fulbright without having an in-country contact ahead of time, it depends. So if a letter of invitation is required and you haven't established and obtained a letter of invitation by the time of application, then that would render you ineligible. If it's just optional, it is best to have contacts, and we do have some resources on the CIES.org website on how to find find contacts in country if you don't have any. And oftentimes, the catalog of awards does list specific contacts, whether at the commission, at the embassy, or even at the universities listed, and you can they are aware of and welcome your inquiries into being hosted there. The next question, I'm interested in applying to do research in library sciences and contemporary art in Mexico. do you have suggestions about where I could start researching Fulbright options? Are there any library-specific programs in Mexico that you know of? So this is a really great question. It's very specific. I do advise that you email us, and we can set up a time to chat by phone. And if you email this, I don't know specifically about library programs, but I'd be happy to forward that question as well to the commission in Mexico, and they could give you some suggestions.
Great. Thanks, Angelica. And I just wanted to point out where you would see the contact information for sending us an email. So, for example, on every award description, you'll find my name, my contact, the office number, as well as the email. So I encourage you actually to email, because then you can send me your resume, your CV, and give me a little brief background of what you hope to do, and then I can advise you accordingly, and we can set up a phone call. All right, so moving along, we've got lots of questions to get through. Angelica, do you want to explain how Flex works?
Sure. So a number of countries do offer Flex awards, and what that means is that you're able to split your time instead of going for 6 consecutive months or 9 consecutive months. You're able to split your time into shorter visits, so from 1 to 3 months at a time. Some countries do require that or only offer Flex awards, for example, Bolivia, and that's due to visa requirements. Other countries offer both Flex and non-Flex programs, and so whatever would be best suited to your schedule and your needs, and also the type of project you're proposing. We do have some scholars right now, for example, that are doing, are in the discipline of the sciences, and they're collecting data and analyzing it, and so their project, because of the data collection requirements, they can only go during certain seasons, so they split their time across 3 different visits over the course of 2 years. So you'll want to see on the award catalog whether or not it's offered. You can filter for that if you're searching. If you're only interested in Flex or if you're not interested in Flex at all, you can filter for that in the catalog.
Great. So we're getting a couple questions about the language evaluation requirement and what that looks like. So I just want to let everyone know that once you start the application, so that you would register your recommenders in the same way that you would register, you would register your evaluator just as you would register your recommenders. So they would get an email that generates them to sends them a form, and then they need to meet with you to evaluate your language ability. They would fill that out, and then they would upload it to your application. So you would not actually see that form. You wouldn't necessarily send it to them. You need to register them. So it is a form to fill out, and there are 3 sections of evaluation. the reading, the writing, and the speaking. And again, it should be someone who teaches the language. Okay, let's see. We have a question that says, if I'm teaching, can it be at the high school level or community, or does it have to be a university? So, Angelica, do you want to answer that, or do you want me to take it?
So, again, the specific requirements will be outlined in each catalog of awards description. Generally, you should have a terminal degree and X number of years. I think a lot of them have 3 to 5 years of teaching experience at a higher level. So it isn't necessarily a problem that you're not at a higher education institution at this time, but there might be a requirement for having had university level teaching experience.
Okay, the next question, let's see. So how many semesters of a foreign language would be considered intermediate by the program?
So we don't have anything prescriptive like this. It's going to be whatever your language evaluator deems. So they are able to have in the form, they'll have you speak and write, whatever their method of the evaluation is, and they'll complete the form on your behalf indicating whether they think it's a beginner, intermediate, or advanced level. So it's a little bit subjective, but that's why we require that it's a certified language instructor or a translator or somebody that has the capacity to understand exactly what level is what and what would be good for that country. So if you are a Spanish speaker, you're probably very aware that the level that you'll need differs across the countries. The Dominican Republic, for example, or Paraguay, they'll really require more advanced level as opposed to other countries that may have more English available in the urban centers or that's a little bit easier to understand.
Great, thank you. So we have a question from someone who is a full professor, but they're not currently affiliated with the university. Are they still eligible to apply?
So generally, yes, you don't have to be affiliated with the university unless the award explicitly states that you must be. So for Mexico, they do require that you are affiliated with a university or a research institution in the United States. Other awards will say professionals outside of academia are welcome to apply. If that's the applicant profile that they accept, then you're certainly able to be coming from outside of academia as long as you have the requisite years of experience. Oftentimes as well, the professionals outside of academia candidate profile indicate that you are not required to have a terminal degree. So you'll just want to read really carefully in the award description what the requirements are.
Okay, great. We have someone who's asking about STEM education in Barbados and Eastern Caribbean. So what would be the piece of advice for them to get information about that?
So you'd first want to start by going to the Barbados an Eastern Caribbean award description. Once you click into it, you can see exactly whether it's all disciplines, if they have any specific disciplines that they're looking for, and you can really see there. There are a number of disciplines listed, and it says only applications in the following disciplines will be considered. So there's a mix of STEM and non-STEM discipline. So you'll just want to see what would be the best fit for you and your background.
Great. And speaking of that same award, we have someone who's interested in applying to the All Disciplines Award. They have an affiliation or a connection at the University of the West Indies. Do you suggest that I work with that connection on a project idea and have them generate the letter of invitation? So looks like West Indies is one of the possible locations, so I think they could go ahead with that, right?
Yeah, you can absolutely go ahead with that. I think having that connection is really useful. But you want to make sure that you're not going just off of having this as your only in-country contact. It should be a really good fit between your expertise, your project proposal, and the needs of the university. So if it's not a great fit to be working with them directly, it's really great that you already have a connection and you can kind of go from there and see what other leads you can get. You want to have a really strong connection between your proposal and the university and the person you'll be working with.
Great. And the other question we have is about the application. So does the application specify a certain format? And should there be a specific section for anticipated benefits to the host country and the U.S.? And the answer is absolutely yes. So I believe our application will go live next week. And when you click on begin an application, you start the process, we do have some question kind of text boxes that you must speak about your interest in the Fulbright program and the anticipated impact for the host and also for yourself, your home institution or your research if you're an independent scholar. We do want to see all of that. And so the project statement details on our website give quite a bit of information about what you should be including in the project statement. And later on in the application cycle in the competition, stay tuned for webinars on the application itself. So we call them virtual advising and application walkthroughs. And we will be going literally almost page by page in the application process, taking questions and kind of really underscoring what you should highlight in each section.
I would also like to add that this is a great question because it is the Fulbright program. So we want you to be going and making cross-cultural connections, really collaborating with your host country institution as well as the community outside of the academic community. So a really strong proposal is going to include the benefits for you as well as your host community. So it's really great to highlight that.
Okay, so we have another question. It's about housing and any other resources for Fulbrighters.
So this will depend. There are a few host countries in which they do provide housing. Jamaica is one of them. So they will provide housing on the campus of the University of the West Indies. If you go to the catalog of awards, you can see more information. There are some restrictions around that. The majority of countries don't offer assistance in finding or securing housing. That is the scholar's responsibility. You do receive funding, adequate funding that will cover the cost of rent, et cetera. And of course, the commission or embassy countries can provide you leads on safety and good neighborhoods, et cetera, but it will ultimately be your responsibility.
Okay, great. So, Angelica, can a dual citizen with citizenship in the U.S. and Canada, would they be eligible for an award to Canada?
Yes, dual citizenship is not a problem, but you do want to be careful to be meeting the residency requirement in the U.S.
Great, and we should also mention that it's okay for Canada, but there are some other countries around the world I can think of, Australia, Spain, Korea, Japan, there's just a handful, Germany, that don't allow dual citizens to apply. So for Canada's case, that's fine. So just keep that in mind that it's kind of unique across, you know, it's a case-by-case basis. All right. So let's see. We have a question about a little more information about the regional travel grant. Could it be used for a short-term research project or just or for a guest lecture at a university? Again, research is not allowed. Is one of the activities for the regional travel grant. Angelica, maybe you want to share about what people use this grant for?
Sure. So this is the regional travel program, and it's available not only in the West End, but in other regions. They also have a similar regional travel program. And so the idea is if you are being hosted at one Caribbean country and your expertise is really specific and you want to share it with Chile, for example, then it's a really great opportunity to share your knowledge to a separate country in which you aren't hosted. So you're not going there to do research necessarily, but let's say you're invited to guest lecture or you want to attend a conference, It's really 3 to 14 days long, and there is a separate application for it. You can certainly go ahead and Google it right now. It's the Regional Travel Program Western Hemisphere, and it's managed by the Fulbright Commission in Uruguay. So they have a separate, really short application that you would complete once you are accepted and in your host country. And it's a really great opportunity to just see another country in the region.
Great. All right. We have a question about sharing application numbers and success rates for awards in the region. So, Angelica, you want to tell us how we can't share that information, actually?
But we don't give out that information, those statistics. And one of the main reasons is that it's really difficult. So, as you can see, there's so many different awards. And each award that you apply for, so let's say you apply for the Distinguished Chair in Neuroscience in Brazil, you're only competing with other people who apply for that specific award. So the level of detail that we can gather in data is not particularly helpful for anybody.
Great. And then we've also got a question. If my state or institution has not submitted any Fulbright applications before, does that increase my chances?
So this is hard to say. I don't. With all things being equal, Fulbright is very interested in having diverse representation, which includes geographic representation across the United States. So as you can imagine, we get a lot of applications from the coast, from the East Coast and the West Coast, the really major cities in the U.S. We get fewer applications from the states in the middle or that are a little more rural. So we certainly encourage those. And if your application is as strong as somebody else's, you may be given a slight preference. Please apply.
Excellent. Okay. Let's see. We've just got 5 minutes left. We've gotten to a lot of your questions so far. Do you have any recommendations for people who would like to do research in dance?
I don't have any recommendations off the top of my head, but when you go to the catalog of awards, you can filter by discipline. So you'll click the discipline field and you'll select dance, and it'll show all of the awards that would accept dance. Oftentimes, the results will show the all disciplines, since all disciplines don't often specify exactly which one. So I would start there and kind of narrow it down from there. And if you have any interest in Western Hemisphere countries that have dance, I would certainly encourage you to reach out to Michelle. If it's outside of the Western Hemisphere, you can find the person to contact in the catalog of awards as well, and we can help you talk about your application and see what would be the strongest fit.
Excellent. All right. So let's see. We've just got a few more to get through. And again, if you come up with questions after this webinar, please email me at westhem@iie.org. That's westhem@iie.org. All right. So we had a question from somebody who looks like it says, is it possible to complete both a Fulbright and a semester abroad if I'm completing an additional degree that requires study abroad? That's actually a good question. It speaks to the eligibility requirements. We actually cannot have you enrolled. In other words, to be eligible for a grant, you cannot be enrolled in a program when the grant would be taking place. So for those of you, for example, that are currently completing your PhD, in order to be eligible for the Fulbright program for 21 and 22 opportunities, in other words, for this coming September deadline, you would need to complete your PhD by February 1st of next year, unless the award specifically states that you're eligible as long as you have your degree at the start of the grant. I've only actually seen that for a couple of awards, primarily the postdocs in Australia, but again, please check, because every year the awards catalog does get updated, and they might update preferences or eligibility or different kind of locations, whatever in the award description is there might not be, you know, what we had last year. So please do check, because we're always learning new things every year in terms of what the priorities and preferences are. Let's see, this is a good question. You mentioned that you can only apply for one application at a time. That's true for the scholar program. So we do get a lot of questions about people who are interested, let's say, in the Fulbright Specialist program or different Fulbright programs. There's a whole suite of programs. So specifically for the scholar program, and if you're interested in the specialist program, you can actually have two concurrent applications in at the same time. So it's a completely different cooperating agency that administers the specialist program, and so we do welcome you to apply to both, and you can certainly apply to the same country. The specialist program is very different. It's just short-term opportunities that are kind of consultation-based. So there's more information online about that.
I would also add that you can only apply to one country and one award. So for the Fulbright Scholar Program, you can't say, I would like to go to Brazil and Canada, for example. You would have to choose one specific award, the Neuroscience Award or the International Relations Award in Brazil, and tailor your application 100% to that award. There is a section in the application form where you can indicate your interest in alternate awards. In the rare event that you are not selected for the one award, if you indicated interest in a second country or even a second award within that same country, then we would use that information to forward your application. This is rare, and you should only be applying to one country and one award.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Angelica, for joining us and sharing your great insights in managing the program. I would like to say thank you all for attending. We have to wrap up now. It's the 3 o'clock hour. I wanted to share our contact information once again. So if you want to reach me, Michelle, for any of the awards in the Western Hemisphere, please contact me at westhem@iie.org. I also encourage you to join our My Fulbright newsletter, which shares information about upcoming webinars, and you can get information tailored to your interest and location, et cetera. And then, of course, stay connected with us online through social media. We have a lot of great information about grantees and their projects and what they're doing all around the world. So on that note, all the best to you. Good luck. And I hope we're in touch about your upcoming application. Thank you.